Have you ever seen anyone in a restaurant, you know, eat something or drink something? Man, that's good. They're not saying it to anyone around them. They're just saying, man, that's good. Have you ever seen anyone do that? Or have you ever done it yourself? What are you doing? That sounds like a stupid question, but what are you doing? Oh, there you. Thank you, Eileen. You're enjoying it, right? You're taking a moment. No. I can't go on to the next thing. I've got to stop and take that in. I've got to let that wash over me and, yeah. You know, you're made in the image of God. You think God ever does that? Genesis chapter 1. We'll start at the very beginning, which is a very good place to start. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Look at that light. That is good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and He called the darkness night. Evening came, and then morning, the first day. Pause right there. He called the light what? Day. And the darkness He called, and when you combine the darkness and the light, He called it day. He calls things by what He makes them to be. He calls things by what He makes them to be. He had night, that was already there. But He created day. And He called everything day. Moving on. God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above the expanse. And it was so, and God called the expanse sky. And evening came and morning the second day. Then God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and He called the gathering of the water seas. And God saw that it was good. Man, is that good! What's God doing? He's enjoying Himself. Gets better. Then God said, "Let the earth produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit and seed in it according to their kinds." And it was so, and the earth brought forth vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit, bringing forth vegetation. Bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Come on, give me something here. It was good. Man, was that good. Look at that seed there. And evening came and there was morning the third day. And then God said, "Let there be lights." I made some light, but let's have individual lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. And they will serve as signs for festivals and for days and years. Festivals. Who's going to have a festival? Is there anybody around? Anybody around yet to have a festival? God! God wants to have festivals. How cool is that? And they will be lights in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to have dominion over the day and the lesser light to have dominion over the night, as well as the stars. And God placed them in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth to dominate the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw it was good. Oh, man, it's going to get better. And evening came, and then morning, the fourth day, and God said, let the water swarm with living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth, above the expanse of the sky. So God created large sea creatures and every living creature that moves and swarms in the water according to their kinds. He created every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw... God. Oh, man, is this good. And God said, this is so good, I can't live this fast. And God said, I'm going to bless you. And God blessed them. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters of the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. And evening came and then morning the fifth day. And God said, let the earth then produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. What did God make the animals of? What's that? Well, it says, let the earth bring them forth. So he made them out of the dirt, didn't he? God played in the dirt. How many of you were made in God's image? And you like to play in the dirt. Man, I like to play in the dirt. Okay, so God wanted to play in the dirt. He played in the dirt. And he made all this wildlife. God made the wildlife according to the earth according to their kind, the livestock according to their kinds, and creatures that crawl on the ground according to their kind. And God saw that. Oh, man, this is good. It's going to get better, though. Who's God been talking to? He says, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. Who's he talking to? He's kind of talking to himself, isn't he? Talking among the Trinity. Maybe, but maybe the whole Trinity's talking to nobody. He's just talking into existence. He's just saying the word, and there it is. Now get this. Then God said, let us, whoa, stop the train. What happened here? Is this different? We're going to get personal. We've had this circle of love in the Trinity all this time. Let's make the circle bigger. Let us make something that's in our image. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And they will rule like I do. They will rule. The fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. And so God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created the male and female. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. I hasten to point out, this is the only command God has this is the only command of God that man has fulfilled to the letter. He's done a real good job. Got this one figured out. After that, it gets a little thin, but he's got this one figured out. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every creature that crawls on the earth. God also said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This food will be for you and for the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, and for every creature that crawls on the earth, everything having the breath of life in it. I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Whoa, this is over the top. This is very good. Evening came. And then morning, the sixth day. So the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. And by the seventh day, God completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it he rested from all his creation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you are the God who works, and you make us in your image to work. Speak to us through your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Creation is God's visible work. You look at creation and you can see the handiwork of God. And if you've come here on our Sunday nights with our scientist team, if God's not apparent to you, you haven't been watching. It's blindingly obvious to me and to anyone who actually takes the time to want to look that God is at work. God has done something. A genius has constructed the world. Now, I am not here to teach creation science because I do a lousy job. A better job has already been done for me. Come when we have those classes if you want. What I want to do is look at God's Word. But as I do, I want to share another problem. One of the problems that we have when we talk about this creation account is that the skeptics say this account is much like the creation accounts of nations around Israel. And I want to say, let me tell you one of the creation accounts of one of the nations around Israel, Babylon. Okay? They got this from Babylon. Well, here's the story of creation. I'm going to give you the shortened Reader's Digest version, okay? There were a whole lot of gods, and two of the gods fought, and they had gods on one side and gods on the other side. It was kind of a god civil war going on. And the god Marduk defeated the god Tiamat. And out of Tiamat's slain body, Marduk created the heavens and the earth. Yeah, it reads just like Genesis 1, doesn't it? Can anyone see the similarity? I'm struggling, but okay. Maybe that's because I'm stupid. Well, it gets better. They take captive the gods who are on the losing side, okay? And they tell them that they have to work. Their punishment for losing is they have to work on the earth. And after a short time, these gods get upset and they burn their tools and they say, this is demeaning, this is beneath us as gods. And so Marduk made humans and gave them the task of working the earth. Now, what is the Babylonian view of work? Slavery. Definitely a bad thing, right? Work is a punishment. It's, you know, it's a drudge. It's terrible. Now, let me ask you a really rotten question. I'm really good at rotten questions. How does the Babylonian view of work compare to the world's view of work today? Now, a nastier question. How does it compare to your view of work? Yeah, a little too close for comfort. You know, when we start agreeing with the pagans, we got real problems, don't we? Well, wait a minute. What about when things got more enlightened? Let's go to the more enlightened. Let's go to the Greeks. The Greeks had the legend of Pandora's jar. Now, some of you are saying, isn't it Pandora's box? No, originally it was Pandora's jar. Later became Pandora's box, okay? So I'm going to say Pandora's jar because that makes me sound edumacated. Anyway, we all know the story. Pandora had a jar, a box, that she was told not to open, and she? And what came out? All the evils of the world. All the evils of the world. Now let me read you a part of the legend. Pandora had unleashed all the evils now known to man. No longer could man loll about all day, but he would have to work and would succumb to illness. What is work in the Greek mind? Slavery? A curse? One of the evils unleashed by Pandora? Right? What do we have in the Word of God? We have, the Babylonians had gods who would refuse to work. What do we have? We have a God who works. And when we have a God who works, how does he feel about his work? It's what? It's good. Have you ever made something like a craft or a meal or something, and you said, man, that is good. That's what God's doing. He's having a great time creating. The Bible tells us that what he did was work. By the seventh day, God completed his work. And he rested, which doesn't mean he took a breather because he was tired. It means he stopped. He stopped the creative process. He stopped creating. Now, some people like to say, almost as a quip, that God rested on the seventh day and he hasn't had a day of rest since. What does Jesus say? Almost exactly that. John 5:17, my Father is still working and I am working also. If the Father is working, Jesus says, I am working. Why? Because Jesus perfectly bears the image of God, the God who works. This world is telling us that the Babylonians and Greeks are right. Tomorrow is one of the few Mondays you really like. Labor Day. Labor Day is the only holiday America celebrates correctly. It was given as a day off for the purpose of a day off. It's the only day that we're doing right. Unless you go to work on Labor Day, I'm sorry for you. An awful lot of people have to, right? You want to go buy your brats and whatever else you're going to get. But don't let this world tell you that work is demeaning, degrading, low, for slobs, for slaves. Work is what is one of the many things that makes you look like God, that puts you in the image of God. Now, we've seen God's visible work in the world, and so God's image goes to work. Be fruitful and multiply, we are told, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every creature that crawls on the earth. We were created to work. What kind of work? Well, first of all, God is a creator, right? And are you supposed to be creative? You know, I keep seeing how many movies of the last few years have been sequels or remakes. Where's our creativity? Our creativity is going south in Hollywood. No surprise. But we're losing our creative edge because this world is losing the image of God. But you know what bothers me? How many Christian universities offer an art major? I can tell you very few. And usually it's the more liberal ones. What are we supposed to be? Didn't the church used to be the centerpiece of the arts? Johann Sebastian Bach wrote a cantata every week. And it was performed every week. How long would it take the average church to put a cantata together? They would perform a cantata a week in church. The church was the centerpiece of the arts. We were displaying God's creativity, bearing his image. Something's wrong, folks. God worked in the dirt. Aren't ditch diggers the lowest form of humanity? Isn't that the image that we use to describe someone who's doing the most menial task, the ditch digger? How many of us are driving past ditch diggers and past orange barrels? Past ditch diggers. People who are doing exactly what God did. God worked in the dirt. He dug a ditch and he made animals and made man. How about that? Now, we get to the fun part, we think. God is ruler, right? We're supposed to rule, right? Man rules. Man over nature. How often does man lose that battle? What does the scripture tell us? What is a ruler? No, I'm not talking 12 inches. What is a ruler? One who oversees. A steward. Thank you, Roger. I knew it was in you. I knew you were teaching it. Luke 22. Read you something Jesus said. Let me set the stage. Jesus is at the Last Supper, just like right here, right? He's at the Last Supper, and he said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And then he tells them, one of you will betray me. And they say, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Well, it couldn't be me. Why not? Well, because I'm the greatest. No, you're not. I am. Verse 24. Then a dispute arose among them about who should be considered the greatest. Jesus has just said he's going to die. And they're arguing about which one of them is the greatest. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? We've got to have our priorities, folks. There's some priorities missing here. But this dispute arose about which of them would be the greatest. And Jesus said, guys, he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles, the pagans, them guys, dominate them. And those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But you know, it must not be like that among you. That's them. And what them is, you ain't. You are not supposed to be like them. How like the world are you supposed to be? Day and night. Right? On the contrary, he says, unlike the world, whoever is greatest among you must become like the youngest, and whoever leads like one serving. For who is greater, the one at the table or the one serving? Well, obviously, isn't it the one at table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are the ones who stood with me in my trials, and I bestow on you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one on me. Folks, he's telling his disciples, you will reign as kings, just like I do. What did Jesus have to do to become king? Died on the cross. He died on the cross. What's he telling them? Ruling doesn't mean you get 200 servants to fetch and carry for you. It means you are the servant of 200 people. I always tell people, they ask me, how long have you been pastor at that church? How long have you been going to that church and, you know, been leading that church? I said, well, it depends on how you look at it. I was youth director for a long time, and then they demoted me to pastor. I used to serve just the youth. Now I got to serve everybody. God's visible work is this planet and the glory that we see in it. And folks, don't be ignorant of what's here. God has created something of immense beauty, incomparable creativity. I want to give you all a little challenge. Some of you, this is going to be a tough one because you're not going to drive far or go far to go home. But when you go home, try to see something you haven't seen before. Yeah, it's going to be rough for some of you just down the road. But try to see something you haven't seen before. Oh, where'd that come from? Take notice of God's visible work. Take on His image. Be creative. Be a steward of this world. And for some of you, have fun playing in the dirt. But God, as we all know, performed a less visible work. When Christ was about to go to the cross, in his great prayer in John 17, he said, I have glorified you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. We think of the work that Jesus did as dying on the cross and rising for us. This is before he died on the cross, right? He had work before that, demonstrating what the kingdom of God looks like. And he died on the cross, rose from the dead so that we could have eternal life. And you know, we love to recite Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, don't we? If you know it, "For by grace are you saved, through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast." How many of you know verse 10 by memory? "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for them to do." We are His workmanship. What does workmanship mean? Many translators will say God's masterpiece. We are what? Have you looked in the mirror lately and said, "Hello, God's masterpiece"? Okay, Mike hasn't. Shouldn't you? Hello, God's masterpiece. Let me tell you what you're doing today. You were made to get up today to do good works which God has prepared beforehand for you to do. Oh, wait a minute. Tomorrow's Labor Day. We get the day off. I don't think God knows it's Labor Day. He has prepared works for you to do that are good. What good work has God prepared for you to do? Today, tomorrow. Do you still have the view that work is slavery, that work is drudgery, that work is a curse, that work is for menials that the gods created because this stuff is above Him, that work is an evil released by Pandora? Or do you believe that work is one of those things that places you in the image of God? Does your heart need to be changed?